From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Undocumented immigrants can be afraid to go out in Arizona these days. One stop by police for the smallest thing, and they can find themselves back over the border. Immigration control is a federal authority, but 2 years ago, Arizona's legislature stepped in hard with Get Tough measures. Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Indiana, Utah have all followed suit. This week, the Supreme Court takes up the Arizona enforcement and who has the power to do what on immigration. It is politically loaded. This hour on Point, Arizona's immigration crackdown before the High Court and how crackdown is already playing out across the country. You can join the conversation. Where do you stand on this national issue on Arizona's approach on federal and state authority here? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We will hear from Arizona and Alabama in this hour. But joining me first from Washington is David Savage. He covers the Supreme Court for the Los Angeles Times. David, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you.
Hi, Tom.
So what's at the heart of the arguments that are going to be made before the court, what, on Wednesday, David?
Well, this is a federal preemption case, which is to say the question is, does the federal authority to control immigration preempt or trump the Arizona law? The Arizona people say the feds have not been enforcing immigration, so we're going to do a little more to step in and enforce the law to arrest people and hold them if we think they're illegal aliens. But the Obama administration went to federal court in Phoenix and said, you can't do that. The federal government controls immigration policy. The state doesn't have any right to sort of go its own way. And the judge in Phoenix and the Ninth Circuit Court have basically blocked most of the Arizona law from going into effect. Now the Supreme Court's going to decide whether those decisions were correct.
So the lower courts have said what on the way to this Supreme Court consideration, David?
The lower courts have said that the Obama administration is right, is that Arizona's law is regulating immigration, enforcing immigration, that you can't do that, that the Arizona's law conflicts with the federal policy. Federal law is supreme in this country, and therefore the Arizona law falls.
What are the measures in the Arizona law? And a lot of other states have picked up some of this. Some have gone further. But what were the measures that really got people's attention that are likely to be sort of the hottest issues of enforcement as the Supreme Court looks at this?
The biggest one is this so-called stop and arrest authority. Arizona basically tells its police that if you stop somebody for, say, a traffic violation, and you have reason to suspect that person is an illegal, for example, he or she doesn't have a regular driver's license, you're to hold that person, put them under arrest, and check with federal authorities to see if that person is indeed an illegal immigrant. So that's the one that's got the most attention, because I think a lot of civil rights groups, a lot of Latino activists say this is going to allow the police to basically target Latinos, stop them, and basically question them, say, where are your papers. So that's the one that's got the most attention.
And they'd be actively required to hold them if they didn't come up with the papers right there on the spot.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's the whole strategy of this law and the others like it, which is the states want to say the feds are not doing enough to enforce the law. They're not arresting and deporting enough illegal aliens. So we're going to put our police to work essentially to, they say, to help out, to cooperate. Arizona says we're cooperating with the federal government, and the feds, as I say thanks but no thanks. We don't want to have hundreds of thousands of normally law-abiding persons stopped and turned over to the federal government because they may be illegal immigrants. The Obama administration says we've got a targeted immigration enforcement law. There are 10 million illegal immigrants living in this country. We can't arrest millions of people. We want to go after drug traffickers and gang members and various criminals, put them into the system, and deport them. They have deported a nearly record 400,000 persons last year, but I think people in Arizona say that's not good enough.
I mean, that's an irony. You've got all-time record deportation levels, 400,000, as you say, last year, but that's not good enough for Arizona. What other elements of this would require people to carry papers? Failure to carry legal immigration papers all the time would be a crime in Arizona?
Yes, that's right. It would be a state crime not to have some sort of immigration papers with you. It would be a state crime if you're an illegal person and you ask for work, you solicit work. That's a state crime as well.
We all know there's been a lot of tension around this between the federal government and Arizona and other states that have gone this way, and personal kind of tension that we've seen sometimes it appear between the president and Arizona's governor, Jan Brewer. Here she was. This was just a year ago this month, talking with Fox News, blasting the decision to when the Ninth Court of Appeals ruled against Arizona on this, as the federal government opposed Arizona's immigration laws.
The bottom line is this has been a long, hard battle for Arizona, and we bear the brunt of everything that takes place here with the drug cartels and the illegal immigrations, the drop houses of the crime, and we are the gateway to America. And I think now we have to stand up for the people of Arizona and for the people of America. Just do your job, Mr. President. Enforce the federal law, and we wouldn't have these issues.
Do your job. Enforce the federal law. But the president, President Obama, has said we can't have a national patchwork of every state going its own way. He wants some kind of overall solution, he said, in 2010.
What my administration is doing is examining very closely this Arizona law and its implications for the civil rights and civil liberties of the people in Arizona, as well as the concern that you start getting a patchwork of 50 different immigration laws around the country in an area that is inherently the job of the federal government.
All this before the Supreme Court this week, and of course the fall election coming, the November election, where the Latino vote will be very important. I mean, one of the things that's arresting about this, David Savage with the LA Times, is we're going to hear the same lawyers representing the government and against the government that we heard in the health care case.
Yes, this is sort of a rematch for Paul Clement and Don Verrilli. And there's a lot of similarities between the issues. It's essentially the Republican-led states against the Democratic administration. In the health care case, Paul Clement was representing Florida and 26 Republican-led states saying, strike down the health care law. Don Verrilli was defending it. Now Paul Clement is representing Arizona and, by implication, the five other Republican-led states, and saying, this is the state's prerogative. Our police are not going beyond federal immigration law. All we're doing is picking up people who may be here illegally, turning them over to the feds, sort of making a state's rights argument and saying, you, the Supreme Court, should uphold that. And Don Verrilli, again, arguing on behalf of the administration, is saying, federal government controls immigration policy. We have an immigration policy that's targeted on bad guys. Arizona is conflicting with that policy, causing a problem, and you, the Supreme Court, should essentially block their law from taking effect.
Dan, do the decisions of the lower courts, which have gone against Arizona and some of the other states, do they predict how the Supreme Court might rule in this case?
I don't think they do, Tom. I think this is a situation where a lot of the lower court judges are following decades of precedent. Most of these cases went pretty far back. But in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, there were a lot of cases where the Supreme Court said the federal government sets national immigration policy and the states can't interfere. So a lot of those judges relying on those decisions have gone with the administration and put parts of the Alabama law, Georgia law, the Arizona law on hold. I think the Supreme Court's likely to tilt the other way. They had an immigration case last year from Arizona, an earlier law that punished employers who hired illegal immigrants. The court upheld the Arizona law, a 5-3 vote. The five more conservative justices of the court, the five Republican appointees. And going into Wednesday's argument, I would think the administration has an uphill fight to win five votes in this case.
So Elena Kagan has recused herself in hearing this, who might be seen on the more liberal side. So what are we looking at? Could it be someone would still have to peel off. I mean, you had Robert Scalia, Kennedy, Clarence Thomas, Alito, who all went with Arizona last time. One of them would have to come over even to get a tie here.
That's correct. If Justice Kennedy would, for example, come over to the more liberal side and say, Arizona has gone too far, it's trampling on, that would cause that would create a 4-4 split, and the effect of that would be to affirm the Ninth Circuit's court decision on a tie vote, but essentially no opinion. And so that would create a mess because it would be very unclear what the other lower courts are to do. That's a possibility. I bet it's unlikely. I bet the court will try really hard to avoid a 4-4 split in a big case like this.
But if it goes 5-3 for Arizona, you're describing that as going against decades of precedent here. What does that say about where the needle is tilting, state versus federal rights under this Roberts court?
I think it's moving in the direction of states' rights and states' prerogatives. It would basically say to the states, you can, if you want to, go down the road of doing more to enforce the immigration laws. I will say, I'm sure that the court, even if they do that, will say, you can't make your own immigration law. You know, in other words, a state can't say, we're going to round up certain numbers of people from countries that we don't like and deport them, and we're going to allow other people to stay here. They can't have their own immigration law, but they can sort of vigorously enforce the federal laws on the books, and I think it would allow at least some other states to go down that road.
They can if the court goes Arizona's way this week. Dan Savage with the LA Times saying it may well. We'll be watching closely. David, thank you so much for joining us today.
Glad to be with you, Tom.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point, and we're talking this hour about Arizona's get-tough immigration law, looking at it headed before the Supreme Court this week, and checking in with Arizona and Alabama, exhibits A and B, you might say, in state-level immigration crackdown. I want to go to a couple of reporters who know these two states very well and how the whole immigration issue is playing out. With us first this hour from Birmingham, Alabama, is Charles Chuck Dean, senior reporter at the Birmingham News. He's covered these issues for a long time. Chuck Dean, thanks very much for being with us from Alabama.
Hi, Tom.
And with us from KPNX, Channel 12, is the NBC affiliate in Phoenix, is Joe Dana. He's in Washington today to cover the Supreme Court oral arguments coming up this week. He knows the Arizona situation inside and out. Joe Dana, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
So first to you, Joe, what has been the effect in Arizona already? And I don't know if it's the economy or the tough message in these laws, but what's the immigrant situation in Arizona since 2010?
Well, that's the interesting thing is, since SB 1070 passed, you've only had certain components of this law go into effect. But they're pretty minor. A couple of them relate to, for example, the day laborer areas, where people can go and try to pick up people for day labor, and they may be illegal. Another relates to driving with someone, knowingly taking someone who's an illegal immigrant in your car. And the local police forces tell us, in all, they've just made a handful of arrests related to SB 1070. I mean, we're talking five or six mm-hmm. in the entire state. So it's had not a very big effect in terms of policing, because the heart of the law, of course, is what goes before the Supreme Court, and it hasn't gone into practice yet. In other ways, though, symbolically, it's had a major impact. The governor who signed it, Governor Brewer, has obviously enjoyed popularity because of the stance she took, and other politicians have been able to sort of ride that wave. But also in recent months, we've seen the interest has waned quite a bit in terms of wanting tougher policies. Last year, five more immigrant bills went up for votes. All five were shot down. And a lot of people who voted to shoot down those bills the year before voted for SB 1070. So we are seeing a little bit of a backlash. And in fact, a recent ASU Institute for Public Policy poll showed just in November, 78% of Arizonans surveyed said they would support legislation for undocumented longtime residents to become citizens if they pay a fine, if they pass a criminal background check, and demonstrate they can speak English. 78%. These are many of the same voters who voted for SB 1070. And I've seen the same thing. I'm constantly talking to people who say, yes, I think SB 1070 was good because it sounded an alarm bell. It sent a message that the feds need to do something. But then, as you start to ask them, well, what should we do with maybe someone who's been here 15 years and they're abiding by the law, they pay their taxes? They say, you know, I mean, I think we could find a way for them to be citizens. Yes, we should have a pathway. And they support comprehensive legislation.
It's a really interesting subtlety there, and I want to dig into it with you, Joe. Stand by, though. Chuck Dean in Birmingham, Alabama, mean, you've also had a kind of interesting path since Alabama got even tougher than Arizona in what at least was passed by the legislature there. Chuck, how's it been playing out?
Initially, Tom, I think it was broadly welcomed. There was little organized opposition to the bill that passed last summer. The religious groups, some Hispanic groups, some civil rights groups were opposed, but really with very little effect, law passed, and what we immediately saw was, I think the real intent of the bill was Hispanics leaving the state in large numbers at a time when certain farm crops were coming in and had to be harvested, and it left those farmers in a lurch. It left tomatoes on the vines. Peanuts are a large product in the southern end of the state. Other products that caught the attention of the ag industry in the state, alarmed it. It suddenly ministers, preachers, priests became aware that under provisions of the law they perhaps couldn't transport possibly illegal aliens. Mm-hmm. Police departments became concerned suddenly because of concerns of racial profiling were leveled in this bill. Stop and arrest was, as I think is the term, became a concern among some groups, and Hispanics anecdotally, because we don't have hard data, left. We had you had empty residences up and down the state, and they were suddenly gone. Mail building up in mailboxes, empty apartments, empty trailers near farm fields, gone.
And a real split, it sounds like, in your state, Chuck, between those who had originally pushed this through and some business people saying, wait a minute, how are we supposed to do business in this situation?
Frankly, when the bill passed, again, there was very little opposition. Since that time, the harshness of the law, as seen by some, has alarmed the corporate community in the state. They have pushed for a significant revisions of that law, which is now making its way through the Alabama legislature. Corporate sees it as, given Alabama's long history of civil rights abuses dating from the 50s and 60s, they saw this as another black eye. They were afraid they were going to have one hand tied behind their backs in terms of business recruiting. We had a high-profile German executive from a Mercedes plant, which is about a half hour down the road, stopped and detained. He couldn't prove he was here legally.
Right.
That drew the attention of the governor, who apologized to Mercedes for it. Unintended consequences like that, and it has divided the pro-business, pro-growth Chamber of Commerce type Republican from the evangelical Christian right Republicans in the state.
And you really get into the nuances of how deeply this whole issue is enmeshed in our culture and in our economy. Chuck Dean, please stand by there in Birmingham, and Joe Dana with KPNX out of Phoenix. Let's go to our listeners, if I may. Buffalo, New York, Ray is calling. Ray, thanks. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I really think that the people of Arizona have a right to defend their own property and communities against the illegal invasion. They're being inundated with gang violence and drugs, and the federal government, Eric Holder specifically, is not doing their job in removing these people, and the citizens of the state are fed up. And they have a right, and this goes beyond courts and law. It has to do with defending your own property and your own safety.
And what about the idea that this is a federal responsibility to take care of, Ray?
Well, they're not doing their job. And when the federal government has a breakdown and doesn't defend the borders of the United States, it's up to the citizens to defend their own property and their own borders, and they have a perfect right to. I think if there's one issue that's going to hurt Barack Obama in the election, it's going to be that issue in the southern states there that border Mexico.
Let us pick it up right there, Ray. Let me get one more call first, if I may, from Charleston, South Carolina, and we'll come to all that. Robert from Charleston, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yeah, I think the tone of the whole thing in Arizona is just totally wrong. Although they have every right to enforce every law on the books, and I think they could have done it without an additional law. But I grew up in communist Romania, and we were afraid of police. You would see a police officer, you'd be scared. And I traveled to Phoenix quite a bit, so now I'm afraid to get a tan in Phoenix or anybody that looks Native American or somewhat Latino, and it could be a dark complexion white person too, or you know, African Americans. If you jog without your ID, you could end up like Cheech Rodriguez in the movie where he gets deported out of a restaurant in a raid. So, I don't know if you remember that movie.
I don't remember the movie, but we all remember very well the kind of show us your papers fear that was associated with Nazi Germany, with Eastern Europe, and you're hearing little tremors of that in what you see out of Arizona, Robert.
Well, that's the tone of it, and I think Arizona and other states are trying to have their cake and eat it too, or eat their cake and have it too. These illegal immigrants were just fine while the real estate industry was booming, and they used the cheap labor to build up all the their real estate empires. But as soon as the economy tanked a little bit, then let's get rid of them. But they were just fine to be here, and nobody cared as long as the economy was good. So,
to be fair, Arizona's got a track record of toughening up that goes back well back to 2002, 4, 6. They measures making English only the law of the state and blocking access to state benefits and so on. But I take your point, and I appreciate your calling, Robert. Joe Dana, what about those? I mean, there's Ray in Buffalo saying, come on, if the federal government doesn't take care of it, it's the state's right to do it. And then you hear that fear sort of brought back to the surface from our Romanian immigrant from communist Romania saying, hey, wait, I've been here. That's not a fun kind of society to live in.
Well, and you know, we actually saw a recent case settled, and a man and his son won a sizable amount, and it was against the sheriff in Maricopa County, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. They were stopped and detained for several hours. He was here legally, and his son is a citizen. And it was during a quote-unquote raid of a business that the sheriff carried out. So we've seen those concerns about racial profiling, and it is a very valid point, and that's a key concern that will be raised with the Supreme Court. As to Ray's point about the federal responsibility and people having to worry about their properties, you know, he's right. I mean, I've been with ranchers near the border who have been robbed more than once by illegal immigrants passing through there. These guys they're part of these drug bands that go through and immigrant smuggling rings, and they're bad, bad people with bad intentions. The stats show they represent a tiny fraction of the people who are coming across, who come across with intentions of simply making some money for their families back home. But yes, that criminal element is there, and it is hurting people. At the same time, you know, I've talked to the nursing student who just graduated from college, and there's a desperate need for bilingual nurses in the industry, and she was at the top of her class. She cannot get a job because she doesn't have citizenship. And so the passions are strong on both sides and justified in many ways on both sides, and that's why the call for comprehensive reform has become more popular in Arizona. But at this point, politicians don't dare even talk about that if they want to get reelected.
Because public sentiment's going the other way. I mean, I see these Department of Homeland Security estimates that there are something like 360,000 illegal immigrants in Arizona as of January last year. And that was, they were saying, the fewest since 2000. So do Arizonans feel that diminishment of that population?
Well, there's a huge drop, but you know, 2 years ago, yeah, we saw a 35% drop of illegal immigrants, according to the Department of Homeland Security, over the last 2 years. Most experts say that's mostly attributed to the economic crisis. We're at the epicenter of the housing meltdown, and so the jobs just disappeared. And so illegal immigrants by the droves left Arizona. But they say a secondary factor is SB 1070, the fear of being caught. And so they've left for that reason as well. But going to that federal issue, it's interesting because, you know, Janet Napolitano, when she was governor, I sat in her press conferences when she would say over and over, the feds need to take responsibility. They need to secure our borders. They need to reimburse us for this amount, $1 million that cost us last year. And she sent letters to the feds saying they need to do something about it. Now that the governor's in position in Homeland Security, all of a sudden it's different, you know.
And now she is the feds.
And it goes back to that political hot potato. You know, she yeah. I haven't seen her stand up and say, you know what, we do need to do something about this. We need to reimburse Arizona. Now they have taken considerable steps to strengthen the border. They have. But it's interesting to just see the politics behind it.
Let's go to Micah in Brookline, Massachusetts. Micah, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I want to change the subject a little bit. I mean, we've been talking about this, and everyone is talking about the civil rights of Latinos,
yes.
and of the illegal immigrants, and they are very sympathetic, poor people who just want to get by. But it's as though back in the abolition days of slavery, we spent all our time talking about the Uncle Tom's Cabin and the poor conditions of the slaves, and nobody would mention the slave trade and the slave owners and the plantation economy. The basic villains of this piece are the people who exploit the illegal aliens and you know, avoid taxes by hiring them and pay them below minimum wage and don't bother with small things like 8-hour days and what have you.
So who's that, Micah? Is that big farmers? Is that everybody? I mean, look at, well, you know, what about the lawn service on your block? I don't know.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we all are complicit, just like we were all complicit in the slave trade. But there, if you're going to be honest about this problem, you have to face your responsibilities. And if we want to have a fair labor market, you cannot expect to solve the problem by simply bashing on the illegal immigrants. And although, you know, let's face it, they are breaking the law, and there is no such thing as a partially illegal immigrant.
But there's a whole economy built around them.
But the main thing, the main villains, you have to end, first of all, the trade. There's no such, if you just give them all amnesty, it's like freeing the slaves without stopping the slave trade.
Michael, we've got it. Our time is short before the break. Let me take that to Chuck Dean. I mean, Chuck, there you are in Birmingham. You're in a state that very well knows what slavery was all about. Now we're in this immigrant era. You had an economy based way back on that. Now we've got the immigration question before the country. Does it come up in that, in those terms, in Alabama with its history?
It does. Alabama's history is a shadow that is never very far away, and this debate has become entangled in that shadow and how the state once treated a people, and it has reared its head. Going back to your caller's point, it's absolutely true. The concerns, complaints we heard from the ag industry in the late summer, early fall about getting their crops, and very much went to the point that they had just lost a labor pool of whom they paid very little money and no benefits, with very little overhead. They put them in fields for long hours. They did the work, and these farmers want them back without higher wages and benefits and the 8-hour day. It's true in processing plants across the state where they're processing chicken or catfish. It is a kind of workforce that they make minimum investments in. And
get a lot out of. Chuck Dean, stand by in Birmingham if you'd be good enough. We've got a break right here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we are looking this hour at Arizona's Get Tough Immigration Law, another five states around the country who have very similar laws. Arizona is now headed before the Supreme Court this week. We're checking in with Arizona and Alabama, sort of exhibits A and B in state-level immigration crackdown. And we're going to look in this segment at the politics of all this, and they are hot. Charles Chuck Dean is with us from the Birmingham News in Birmingham, Alabama. Joe Dana is with us. He's a reporter and anchor at KPNX Channel 12, the NBC affiliate in Phoenix. He's in Washington today for the Supreme Court arguments coming up this week. And, of course, all this hot potato on the presidential campaign trail. And you can hear it in a couple of these very public ads here. January 11th, Mitt Romney released this television ad. It features his son, Craig Romney, targeted Hispanics in Florida, where they represent 72% of registered Republicans. Craig Romney, fluent in Spanish.
Los Estados Unidos representa libertad, oportunidad donde todo es posible. Soy Craig Romney, mi padre, Mitt Romney.
There's Craig Romney saying the U.S. represents liberty and opportunity, a place where anything is possible. My dad, Mitt Romney, believes in those American values. He's lived them. He'll fight to restore the greatness of our nation. Last Wednesday, the Obama campaign launched a group called Latinos for Obama, released television ads in Colorado, Nevada, Florida, targeting Spanish-speaking voters.
La historia personal del presidente Obama es una historia de trabajar duro, de luchar.
Mi nombre es Lynette Acosta.
There, the voice saying President Obama's personal history is one of working hard and fighting. My name's Lynette Acosta. I am an Obama volunteer. And then Barack Obama approving that message. 800-423-8255 is our number. Joe and Chuck, please stand by. I want to welcome into our conversation from Washington, Peter Roth. He's contributing editor at U.S. News and World Report. He also writes for National Review, FoxNews.com. Peter Roth, thanks very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. It's good to be here.
Let's look at the politics of this for a second. You're kind of a conservative analyst on this, and a lot of polls. I know you've got one that shows some trouble for Obama, but we've got looking at a lot of polls here showing big problems for Mitt Romney with the Latino vote. I'm looking here at a Fox News Latino showing President Obama with a huge 70% to 14% advantage. The Pew latest poll, 67 to 27 over Mitt Romney among potential Latino voters. This is a gigantic gap. How does this issue play out in the fall campaign, Peter?
Well, the first thing is that most of the survey data I've seen shows that immigration is actually fairly far down the list of things that Latino voters care about, particularly independent Latinos. They're not monolithic. They're not like the African-American vote in America. They're not monolithic. The Latinos in Florida are different from the Latinos in Texas.
So why the huge gap nationally then?
I think that the Republicans have taken a pretty good beating over the last few years because of the ham-handed way that they've handled immigration reform. But, you know, President Obama has his own weaknesses. I've just seen some survey data that suggests that Latinos are very unhappy with President Obama and his failure to deliver on his promise from 2008 of comprehensive immigration reform.
Yeah. David Axelrod saying over the weekend that's because you had sort of Tea Party opposition to that and stopped it in its tracks.
Well, you know, take it from where it comes.
Yep.
The fact is that Latinos, like everybody else, care about jobs, the economy, the direction of the country, educational opportunities for their children, immigration bit down the road. Part of the problem, of course, is the people on the right who seem to get the most attention on immigration are the ones who say things like, what part of illegal don't you understand? And we need to round them up and send them home, which is, I think, an inhumane and an un-American approach to dealing with this problem. It also doesn't really get to the core of what's going on. There are a lot of people who are focused on illegal immigration as being people who come over the border with Mexico. But there are people who come over the border with Canada. And most of the illegal immigration, as I understand it, comes from people who are allowed into this country legally under tourist visas, work visas, student visas, who then don't leave when their visas expire. Mm. And you don't fix that problem by securing the border. But I think that the first step, and something that I've seen Latinos strongly agree with as well, is that rather than do comprehensive immigration reform, what you may have to do is start with something as Mitt Romney has promised to do, to use men and technology and offense to secure the southern U.S. border. And then once that's done, we can talk about the rest of it. You know, it's sort of like saying, well, somebody stole the front door off the house. Well, here are all the things we need to do, but not going ahead and replacing the front door until you've got the whole plan settled for how you're going to protect the house in the future.
I want to put this to Joe and Chuck, if I may, but first to you, Peter. How do you think the Supreme Court's decision, which will, you know, probably come in some weeks or sometime this summer, how does it play out? If they support this tough Arizona law, who does that work for in the fall campaign? And if they strike it down, as lower courts have done, how does that play out, Peter?
Well, I think that the court is likely to uphold most, if not all, of the law. I mean, the states do have a right to set their own laws under the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. And I realize that immigration policy is a federal prerogative, but what happens to illegals once they're here in the United States may not be seen by this court as a federal prerogative. I think that a decision that comes down in favor of the Arizona law that has a favorable impact on the law in Alabama and the law in Georgia is something that Mitt Romney's going to have to address, but it's also something Barack Obama's going to have to address. And it provides risks and benefits for both of them. Mm-hmm. There are going to be people who don't like what Obama says, just as there are going to be people who don't like what Romney says among independent voters who are the keys to the kingdom in this upcoming election.
Here's Mitt Romney. This was September 12th in Tampa last fall at the CNN Tea Party debate there.
Of course we build a fence. And of course we do not give in-state tuition credits to people who've come here illegally. That only attracts people to continue to come here and take advantage of America's great beneficence.
Let's hear from our listeners right here, Ricky in Kenmore, New York. Ricky, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
What I wanted to know is how come we can't tell the truth about what's driving the immigration issue? I mean, it really is that there's an understanding that white Americans are going to become a minority soon. And you don't find anybody trying to put fences across the northern half of this country. I live near the Peace Bridge. Every morning I watch Canadians come into this country in time to go to work and leave this country after that day's work is over with. You don't. The cry is not there for any place except where there are darker people coming into this country.
Ricky, we'll pick that straight up, I promise you. Let me hold that for 1 second and get John in Iowa City, Iowa. John, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Great show. This question is kind of hovering around the periphery of the issue, but I think it's important. Several years ago, I had a friend who married a woman from France. She was fully educated, excellent English speaker,
yeah.
And yet it took almost 3 years, lots of road trips and several $1,000s for her to gain citizenship. So my question is specifically, why is it so hard to become a citizen?
Maybe it's just too darn hard to be legal in the first place. Let me hold that. And one more, Frank in Hartford, Connecticut. Frank, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was a police officer for several years in the Phoenix area, and I've since moved up to New England. But I think it's unfair for people in the northern half of the country here in the Northeast to be criticizing the law in Arizona when we've never, in this area, you don't have to deal with the issues that a border state like Arizona has to deal with.
Like what?
When I was working out there. For instance, less than 10% of our population was illegal immigrants. But I'd say 40% of the calls and issues that we deal with as police officers out there, we were dealing with illegal immigrants for several things. I mean, and it's kind of a cultural issue when dealing with Mexico in particular. There are several things that are normal in Mexico that are illegal here. For instance, the biggest issue would be in Mexico, it's not unnatural to take a 13, 14-year-old girl as a 25-year-old man and marry her and have children with her. Where obviously in America you do that, it's highly illegal.
Frank, let me ask you if I may, Frank, because you've got direct experience there in Arizona as a police officer, you're telling us, and you hear our caller Ricky from upstate New York on the Canadian border say, hey, nobody's talking about building fences up along white Canada. Ricky says the truth is this is about color and white Americans afraid of becoming a racial minority in this country.
I think it's less an issue with color and more an issue with culture, where our culture with Canadians is pretty similar. We're very similar countries. With Mexico, it's a very different place, and the culture is very different. And I think that's more the issue. I mean, I wouldn't have any problem with Mexican immigrants. My family themselves are immigrants, and it's fine as long as you're documented and we know who you are. The problem is we'll have a suspect for a case, and suddenly they disappear, but they're still there, just under a different name. I mean, I've arrested illegal immigrants, and you bring them in, you fingerprint them, and they come up with 10, 20 different names for all previous times they've been arrested.
Frank, we've got that perspective, and let me get one more, and we'll take it to my guests. Frank, thank you. Jane in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Jane, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think there are two reforms that must come together to make a historic deal. And so the first is a hard card, a Social Security card with your picture on it that's not transferable, that every worker gets in the United States. I know that goes against the long tradition of us not having anything, you know, any kind of identification, but this would only be for workers. It wouldn't be for everybody else. Every worker would get a hard card with their picture on it. And the second is a path to citizenship for the people who are now here. Because if you have the hard card, you can hold employers accountable for hiring only people with that hard card. So you can go after the employers for hiring illegally. And if you institute these two reforms together, then you've got a historic deal, and you can answer the people who say, well, look, if you have an amnesty this time, it's just like the beginning, you know, what do we do the next time? There's all these amnesties. You can say, no, this really is the end.
Jane, we've got it. Everybody's thinking hard about this, and I appreciate that. All right, let me take it to my guest. Joe Dana, let me come first to you. You're there in Arizona, and you see that array of concerns here. You know, it's really about color. That's the truth of it. It's too hard to become a citizen. There should be a sort of a nifty path here, a hard card to get a job and then a path to citizenship for others. How do you see this playing out right there in Arizona? What do you think Arizona voters will be sympathetic to, Joe?
Well, to that woman's point, you know, Arizona did pass the employer sanctions law in 2007-08, and that has been seen as the most effective anti-illegal immigration law that Arizona has passed.
Did that require a worker ID?
It required the business owners to conduct a background check and prove citizenship of their employees.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had a major impact. And secondly, in terms of how this could play out, it'll be interesting because we've really seen voters tap on the brakes when it comes to hardline immigration enforcement.
Why?
Just in November, one is the perception that we're intolerant as a state. There's a huge business lobby now that has convinced many lawmakers to stop and kind of refocus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember, the author of SB 1070, the sponsor, Russell Pierce, he was impeached. It was a historic moment back in November. In his district, he was impeached, and the man voted in. It was very moderate on immigration.
Interesting. Impeached straight out. Chuck Dean, what about in Alabama and the politics of this? Now, I don't know if there's any question about Alabama. Not exactly a swing state, maybe, in this upcoming election, but how do you see the politics playing, Chuck?
Alabama's not in play in the presidential election. That race is over here. I think politically, what is at stake is the debate about jobs, but the Alabama bill, the HB 56 bill, is seen by so many as having overreached into schools, into churches, into requiring preachers and priests to become law enforcement officers, into becoming invasive in a way that goes well beyond the job place. And that reaction, that we were doing something here that wasn't necessary. Alabama has a very small immigrant population, Hispanic population, less than 4%. It was not seen as a problem here. We're not Arizona. We don't have a border with Mexico.
So why such a draconian law in the first place, then?
Because it was the Republicans took control of the Alabama legislature for the first time in 136 years in 2010. And they're among the more conservative, social conservative Republicans, this was simply seen, frankly, as low-hanging fruit, something to reinforce the base. They did it. And the unintended consequences suddenly began to spill out all over the place. Statewide, I think it is a popular effort, not as popular as when it began. And you can see that in our legislature now, which is going through the bill, trying to make some changes to it and running into and showing the divide that exists between the pro-business people who see this as bad for the state and the more conservative evangelical voters who see this as, frankly, common sense.
Peter Ruff, in 2008, Barack Obama carried Latino voters by 67-31 point margin over John McCain. So might it be that the Latino vote would make the difference in this November's presidential election, Peter?
It's likely that the Latinos are going to have a lot to say about who the next president of the United States is going to be. I'm not going to say that they are the definitive voters, but remember, it was John McCain who carried the comprehensive immigration reform package for the Republicans in the Senate.
And was beaten up for that.
And was beaten up for it on the right. But also, it did not win him very many friends among Latinos, as we see in the election results. But as I said, the economy is a much bigger issue. Part of the reason that a lot of the steam has gone out of the immigration issue across the country right now is because in a bad economy, the people who've come here looking for work have gone home because there's no work. If the economy were growing at 3%, 4%, 5%, it might be a bigger issue. President Obama has to defend the economy more than he has to defend his failure to pass comprehensive immigration reform or even propose it.
Wow. Joe Dana, last word goes to you. If the Supreme Court supports Arizona's law, do you think Arizona's still going to want to implement all of it? Or this tapping of the brakes that you're talking about, we just got 10 seconds, Joe, might Arizona slow itself down?
We've seen police agencies express concern if the law goes into effect. I think that's where you have to look. How do police react? And I should say, Russell Pierce is recalled, not impeached. I misspoke.
Recalled, we've got it. Joe Dana with KPNX, NBC affiliate in Phoenix. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you.
Chuck Dean with the Birmingham News. You're great. Thank you, Chuck, for joining us.
Thank you.
And Peter Roth at U.S. News and World Report. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Tom.
Listeners, thanks for joining us. This is On Point.